Ah, you dickheads.
I like bananas.
Welcome to episode 31 of Double Dodge. This one's called Love in an Elevator. Come
on! How you going there, Dave? You sound pretty excited.
I'm just full of joy, Campbell. I'm like a pinata of joy.
Oh, nice. Who's been beating you? Or you just been beating yourself?
You know it.
What did we do this week, month, year, David?
Well, Campbell, we had a nice chat to one of our favourite people, one Tim Wisniewski, world champion 2016.
Yeah, he is a legend. That man is the giver that keeps on giving. Probably one of the greatest exports from Germany since the Zeppelin, I believe.
You know he runs on hydrogen.
Yeah, he's full of explosive gas, absolutely. He's a legend. We love him. We like the fact that he just keeps on giving, and his tech is often janky but always awesome and quite left of field. So we thought we'd get him on to chat about some brewers.
Not just get him on to chat about brewers, but to talk high-level strategy about brewers with him. High-level strategy.
He's all about high-level strategy too, and as you'll find out, that's basically what we talk about. It's high, and it's quite level, and there's some strategy involved.
Well, German engineering, Campbell.
Oh, it's so efficient.
Yeah.
Much like those Zeppelins.
So efficient.
Seriously, who invented those things? Like, there's the slowest way to travel through the fucking air, I swear. Anyway.
I want to make this point, Campbell, now that we're dancing around the concept of high-level strategy. Some podcasts will come out and say, we are talking to you about high-level strategy. And in so doing, they are like the instructor of the Cobra Kai dojo. They are direct. They are clear. They make their point forcefully. And there's no ambiguity. But, you know, Campbell, I think unlike the Cobra Kai dojo, I think Double Dodge is a bit like Mr. Miyagi. The lesson is to be unearthed like a delicious golden nugget.
Nice. Are you saying that we're in some kind of like fancy dress shower costume? That costume's there to be opened up and not have the shit kicked out of us by a bunch of skeletons. Is that what you're saying?
We always were, Campbell.
Fact. I love it. We do love our good friend Timmy, and the man did put on a skeleton outfit for us and talked some awesome high-level strategy, and it was good.
So, without further ado, we should go talk some high-level strategy with Timmy. What do you say?
I think we should have called the episode High Level Strategy.
I like High Level Strategy.
And on the line, we've got a man. His name is Timmy Wisniewski. Last time we interviewed this man, the Germans had, I believe, just smashed the shit out of the rest of the world. Timmy, guten Abend.
Guten Abend. It's actually morning over here, but
yeah, it's not about you, it's about us. And I've also got my partner in crime, David, on the line. David,
it's good morning to you. Half man, half bear. Here I am.
So we thought, in the interest of having a bit of fun and trying to shed some light on a guild that people thought were a bit malign, bit down in the dumpsters, we'd get the man who is the special snowflake on to talk about some brewer's tech, and timing it quite well with the new Vetrum Decimate coming out. So I thought we'd have a bit of chat about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Timmy, you've played a bit of brewers of late, I hear. What drew you to actually start like playing with them?
Actually, what got me started was a poll on the German forums, and I'm actually just accepted the peer pressure that I have to play brewers, and yeah, they're pretty cool. They're pretty cool.
Timmy, would you say that like peer pressure, both forcing you to play brewers, is also what forces you to drink? Do you feel like a heavy kind of responsibility to meet expectations?
Actually, not. It's in my nature, to be fair.
All right, right. So just run of the mill alcoholism. That's great, man. Good for you. How's that hangover?
But I cannot handle it anymore. That's the problem.
Oh, Yeah, well, I mean, you've only got one liver unless you get a liver transplant. There's this Australian politician called Darren Hinch, and he's a massive alcoholic. And about 10 years ago, he had a liver transplant, and he promised promised the family of the kid whose liver he received that, you know, he'd never drink again. He'd stay on the straight and narrow. Yeah, about 2 months ago, he got filmed coming out of a restaurant where he'd been pounding the red wine. Fucking hell, man. It's the old demon booze.
That might be even a bit more of a hardliner than me. But I think I've got it, for the most times, pretty good under control.
Right.
I don't guess that I need a new liver in the next 2 weeks.
5 minutes. brilliant.
I mean,
you had one on the weekend, mate. What happened there?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Some stuff happened there. We celebrated Mr. Mario's birthday, one of the German WTC guys. We actually call him M.M. Potter right now because he got new round glasses looking like Harry Potter. And we actually got him like one of these Harry Potter magic warts. Is it called the wart? Like the wooden stick?
Oh, a wand.
Wand. Yeah, we got one of these for his birthday.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Like, yeah, me and Dirty Mike hyped the fuck out of it, and no one else knew what it's all about. So
I feel like you and Dirty Mike are quite the duo. I imagine you get up to a lot of hijinks.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He's a good guy. I mean, I feel this is a nice way to lead into a conversation about brewers. You know, if we start with a general chat about alcoholism and then like move into the team themselves. And happy birthday. Happy birthday to Mr. Potter. Good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Timmy, what are you playing, man? What's your team look like?
I'm not sure yet because I'm actually liking quite a lot of players in brews, and I'm not sure on my 10 yet, but yeah, for sure Estes, for sure Veteran Decimate and Spigot. These are my three core players, and I'm building around them, I guess.
Nice. So you've been rolling out a bit of Vet Decimate and testing her out, her awesomeness.
Yeah, she's in fact pretty awesome.
Yeah, thoughts like she auto include. I've heard the interwebs say that term with Vet Decimate alongside it.
I think most of the time this might be even accurate if you're not going for some weird tech, because she's a perfect vector for all the buffs you got in the faction. So
yeah.
Basically everything you have, like it's a mood force multiplier for her. And she's actually pretty good on her own as well. So I think she's a really, really good addition and buffs brews quite a bit.
Nice. So you've got three autos or three models you like playing, one of which looks like a beer wench. I'm assuming it's because of her cleavage that you want her in there. Are there any other models you like to play like consistently, or you just kind of float the other ones in and out?
Actually, I'm preferring playing brewers way more like a defensive grind team.
Yeah.
So I actually really like to play Stoker as well, because I think he's massively underrated. He's really good. And there are some other good players as well, like Friday's super good as well. Mash is pretty cool. Like I told you before, How's That is so amazing. Fuck, I get so many laughs because of How's That, like pushing people like a mile away with a single attack. It's hilarious. I really like him.
Triple rap kind of situation.
See ya, bye.
Yeah. I love it.
Man, I hear you on Friday. Like that Friday Spigot combo is so annoying. Like 5-1 defense is it's just fucking miserable. She turns into a really good ball holder, and a model who's otherwise pretty squishy just has these amazing defensive stats that you have to dedicate serious effort to deal with. She makes me sad.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I absolutely think that people underestimate the capability of Brewers killing the ball, because I think they're actually pretty good in it. I had more than one game where the opposing Fisherman team got hands on the ball like in turn four or something like this the first time. And that's
nice.
And normally that's a pretty good sign, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, well, given your history with fish, I mean, you'd probably call that natural justice, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's just fair.
Timmy, you keep the HI fish positive at bay until turn four. Well done. Man. Stoker as well. Like, I hear you on that front. Whips out enormous amounts of damage with the right setup. Like, he, you know, you give him four, and he can... under the right circumstances, just delete something, flat out get rid of it.
With the right setup, I don't think there's a single model which doesn't get one-rounded by a Stoker.
Mm. Far out. So what's your biggest prize there? Which is the biggest model that you've, you know, like a hammer, or like who have you taken out with Stoker?
A Grange in a single go, I guess.
Oh, ooh. Boom. Love that shit. That's so good.
I'm happy to hear that.
Exactly. It's the same like with Veteran Decimate. You're actually going to prepare a rep most of the times, because that's where the money's at. It's absolutely bonkers which amounts of damage you can deal with your players repping. Mm. And it's not as hard as to set up like in other factions because of your shorter playbooks and... different ways of buffing people, getting into position in the right situation, or even set them up a turn before with knockdowns, just to have several options to actually kill a model in one go in your first activation. They're actually scary if you know how to do your placement and know how to like maximize the effect of your shorter playbooks and buffs.
Yeah,
Tim. I didn't hear you mention Tapper in that list. Any reason?
I don't like him. I don't like him. I know other players like him, but the first point is he's actually not my kind of play, because he wants to be an aggressive captain, but actually he's more on the passive side most of the time, considering he gets debuffed and controlled like 90% of the game. Mm. And you're actually in a good spot if you're not getting controlled by the enemy team. Yeah, but Esters can achieve the same things, just with different flavor, I guess. Mm. And she's cool. She's cool.
Would you say that she is more like a kind of like a spicy chipolata to Tapper's like run of the mill barbecue sausage?
Yeah. Tapper is just boring.
Yeah.
Tapper's just boring, and look at her. Look at her.
No, I do. I mean, she's a whole lot of woman.
Yeah. Like two in one.
Yes, like two in one. Man, every time I see Tapper, like if ever I'm playing a control team, anytime I see Tapper on the other side of the table, I'm like, yes, thank you. You've done me a great service.
That's exactly my my experience as well. I don't fear Tapper at all, but that might be a playstyle thing, and me liking playing or me. Admiring playing control teams as well. So I think he's like the guy who gets fucked by control the most, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe with Ox. But,
It's
not too fun to play.
they've both got a pity party going on together about that because they just get hard controlled and, you know, static threat ranges, that sort of thing. You mentioned before about the setup. Now, I think I noticed this last time. We've actually – so spoiler alert or not even spoiler alert, we've had this conversation before because we fucked up the audio on the last one and it didn't record. So I'm going to repeat some of the questions that I've, you know, that are lost to the interwebs. One of the things we talked about and you touched on was the setup. Now, I know a lot of people talk about like magical Christmas land in terms of setup. Like, oh, you won't get that to trigger because you've got to do this, then that, then that. But the more I play the game, more I understand that your ability to set those things up, not passively, but in a controlled way so your opponent can't get in on you, is actually a deep skill in it. And it seems like the Brewers have that and you play that style where you're engineering that setup from even the turn before. Is that kind of true?
Like I told you, it's more me playing a defensive ground team. So the enemy comes to me and makes my positioning not as awkward as if I try to go into them. So it's easier to react to something even with more setup because you're not the person who tries to bully the other out of the game. So you're actually shooting them till they can come to you with the kind of Brewers I play. And you can do all the setup like just preparing a situation that might actually appear. So it's more like board control or threatening something which might happen. And if they are committing to the situation, they might actually get a full setup combo like Veteran Decimate or Stoker in their face, who's going to delete someone pretty easily.
Yeah, so you threaten with the ranged attacks, and then as they come in, because you've got that time, because you're just poking at them, you're allowing that them to come into you, and then at that point, you've got the numbers. Yeah, no, I like that.
Well, sounds like a control style, Tim. Would you say that it's you're basically dictating the pace of the game by forcing your opponent to come to you? They're dinged up, they're a bit damaged, and then you can do what Brewers do best, which is form that scrum on your terms and then beat shit out of them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a less ranged control game than with engineers or alchemists or something like this, but you got an ace anti-condition game. You're really, really tough most of the time. So these ping damage from other ranged control teams or something like this isn't as bad. Hmm. And in return, you're actually handing out some conditions, damage and positional pressure as well. So
you've got access to a few range players, not just Esters as well. I mean, Stokers, Molotov, Flamejet, Dirty Knives, Off Friday, things like that. Like, you can just play that keep you off game. I really like
that. Good, because he got auto boosted damage on the Flamejet as well. So even if you're only shooting, you're going to do 4 damage with him on a single play. Tooled up, it's 5. That's pretty scary.
It's
a third of a player only by an occasional shot that you can do without really committing him.
So what kind of win condition are you looking for when you're playing your Esters lineup, Timmy? Are you playing 2-2? Are you playing 1-4? Like, how do you get to the win?
Yeah, there's no clean or clear pass to go because it's really situational. I'm playing them more reactively than actively, I guess. But most of the time it's going to be 1-4, I guess, because you're going to end it with a goal. And you try to have a slow, grindy game, I guess, because that's what you're going to do anyway with Brewers.
Mm. Are you playing Chicago style, man? What are you doing?
killing the ball is not something they invented. So it was there as long as playing the ball was there.
Are you sure they know that, Tim?
We need to ask them.
Yeah, okay.
I think they invented the pet cat as well. Something everyone knows beginning season one, I guess.
Right.
But,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. I think they've got a meme machine over there, and the memes are cranking out at a rate of knots. Like they're producing like 30 memes a minute at this stage. I don't like to get involved. You know, I swore a truce. So yeah.
So you're talking about ball killing before. Sorry, Dave.
No, you're right, mate.
So Matt, is mash your option there? I mean, what are the situations you like to kind of pop it on someone? Mash, obviously, like, you know, 2-inch melee, unpredictable, is never a bad thing. And then the extra armor, you know, is that generally where you put it?
From time to time, yeah. It's actually depending on what's on the opposing side, because there are situations where the ball's on scum, because he got unpredictable movement as well and higher defense.
Yeah.
And a lower kick stat. That might be interesting for something like Siren or Obelus or something like this. But Friday is pretty good as well. And from time to time, I actually drop the ball in the corner, leave him there, because I have like six players in front of it, and everyone who comes in is going to get beat up. So it's depending on the situation. But there are several good options, and if you can enforce these options with like cover or tough skin or something like this, yeah, you got really decent ball handlers. Like a 6-2 Friday in defense, in cover might be magical Christmas wonderland, but it's actually happening from time to time, to be fair.
Yeah. So
try to
Tim,
get the ball from her.
When did you realize that you basically just wanted to watch the world burn? You know, when you make this decision to park the ball in the corner of the pitch, you know, what's your motivation? Are you like, I want to win this game through the longest, most painful experience I can give to my opponent? Or is this just how you roll?
You actually know that I'm a big fan of Fisherman.
Yeah, I mean, you've mentioned it before.
Yeah, and every single bit I can do to make them suffer is what I'm going to do. Right. So,
So this is a tribal thing.
There are so many reasons why I play the guilds I play, and most of them are I fucking hate fishermen. That's the only reason I started playing engineers, because I knew they are really, really good into fishermen. That was the only reason I picked them up.
I find this a really interesting tangent to me. Why do you hate fish so much? I mean, I'm not judging you for your hatred. I understand where you're coming from, but why do you hate them so much?
It's actually like I'm trying to play my Mortician's game, set up a pretty decent turn, do stuff, and it's all really cool, but pretty hard to do, I guess. And on the other side, there's someone like, oh, fuck, I should have stayed over there, but who cares? Momentous dodge, momentous dodge, momentous dodge, and I'm there. And it's fucking like I'm trying to play the game, and they're not. There are so please look at Corsair. He's so insanely OP.
It's gonna be all right, mate. It's gonna be all right. I mean, it's probably not gonna be all right, but yeah. So what you're basically saying is that they lack the elegance and skill level that comes from either from playing a control guild like Morticians, or you know, something complicated like engineers. Do you find that offensive, the YOLO kind of style that Fish bring to the game?
I wouldn't go so far, but I think they're in a guild that's clearly built around not playing with your opponent. It's like out-tempoing them, having huge amounts of denial it's more like hard denial and soft denial and really, really good counterattacks and reach all over the place. And it's like every single one has to prepare stuff in different ways to kill players or to get to their playbook results they really needed, and they are just simply dodging on the one. Don't give a fuck about how many hits they did, because it's either a tackle or a dodge.
So do you feel that the veteran Captain Salt model is like twisting the knife?
I think there was a moment where a veteran Captain Salt was a fun idea. It's like 1.5 years ago, I guess.
that which is dead can never die. You just got to keep beating that horse. It's a cool model, though. Like, looks awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I ordered one to give him in his dead body in my new compound's hands for vengeance, because all of the veteran Salt guys are there as well. So,
So maybe we transition back to Brewers at this point, because you know, Double Dodge, we're a podcast that loves to talk about high level strategy. In fact, I think that's the most significant thing you can say about us. We are a podcast that deals with high level strategy. I figure if we just keep saying it, it's gonna, you know, it'll catch on.
Well, you know, like Google basically translate all of this, and it goes into like the meta of the podcast, and then that just propagates across the internet. So if we say high level like strategy a few more times, we'll actually get more hits.
Yes. Yeah. So Timmy, what's your breakdown? What's your high level strategy against various guilds when you're playing Brewers, specifically Esther's Brewers? Because as we've discussed, Tappa is a flaming dumpster.
He's not a flaming dumpster, but I'm simply not enjoying playing him. But yeah, I guess shooting them till they come to you and then smash their faces till they are dead. high level strategy.
Wow, man. Wow. Where do you come up with this? That's amazing. Well, Champ 2016, you heard the high level strategy here first, ladies and gentlemen. Most of gentlemen. Yeah. So it's that consistent game plan, is it? You know, you sort of keep off, do the damage, smash face, score a goal. That's it.
It's actually pressuring key targets so they cannot commit as they would if they're on full health. Mm-hmm. And positional control, I guess, most of the times, because you're actually lagging like hard denial or hard control. Mm-hmm. But a certain degree of control due to threatening huge amounts of damage, I guess. So it's more like positioning well, covering your position with other players that might be able to burst someone down, and actually multiplying your force in a certain situation. That's why Esther's is so good, because she's so flexible. You can go for like more defense if you really need to. You can go for even more damage if you need to, or just for more speed to go for a goal run, or to get in a better position, or just to run away. That's an option as well. But it's the flexibility of Esther's I really like, I guess, because yeah. You have the tools for actually every fucking situation. You just need to know how to use them.
Right. So you talk about pressuring key targets on the opposing team. Is this about recognizing which are your easiest takeouts on the enemy team, and then, you know, dedicating your efforts to, you know, focusing your fire and doing it in a systematic way. So picking off the easy targets, playing your game style and forcing them to react to the aggression that you're putting out.
It might be. Most likely, if I'm not threatening to be brought in this game, or if I'm not threatened to get outbrought in this game, I'm going for easy kills, I guess. But if the other team is pretty good in melee as well, I would say I would go for the most threatening target or most impactful target on the other side. Even if you're not killing them, you're essentially weakening them and denying them to commit into a brawl because you can easily clean them up afterwards. So it's more like if you're playing against Masons, for example, I'm going to shoot Honor. I'm going to shoot Honor big time, like with everything I got, and retreat afterwards, because if she's down to like 10 HP or something like this, she's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't have a clear pass how I play Bruce. It's the curse of being flexible. You don't have a real way to go, because you can build your own monsters in this team with all the buffs, yeah. And you can play it in different ways. That's what I really, really like, is that you don't have the same outcome of certain situation every single game. It's more like, and now I buffed like Veteran Decimate and she's going to break face over there, or buffed the defense from Friday to kill the ball and slow the game even more down or something like this. It's really situational.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've all acknowledged that you don't dojo as much in this game. It's more about tabletop experience and actually getting the reps in to see those situations, because it, you know, very much is a on-the-fly style game. What I was going to say was, I remember we've chatted obviously before, and you loved Pinvice and how she plays, and she's got that same kind of enabling ability with the damage buff, the speed buff, that sort of thing. Is that why you were drawn to her as well, like, or vice versa? Is that why you're drawn to Estus?
So at first I got drawn to Pinvice because all their jank. Fuck, she's the queen of jank. She's like an old school Piper, I guess. And I really like playing her because it's there's also no true way of playing her. You can go full retard in beating everybody up. Let's delete this. But you can actually go for multiple damage buffs and killing person after person with huge amounts of burst. Or you're going for three golds as well. And it's actually, you have all these options. And the key is knowing which one is the best, I guess, in the certain situation. And that's what's making her like, not as easy, but really exciting to play. And looking at Esther, she's, I guess, her buffs are more team-centric than in Pinvice. I'm much more active with Pinvice than I am with Esther's. Esther scores like 2 to 4 points every game as well. If I'm winning, obviously. If I'm not going to score, I'm not going to score with her as well. But she's not a super solo captain, but she can get work done.
Maybe shifting it a bit, what sort of matchups are good? What sort of matchups are bad? Or do you find that the flexibility means that it's just a case of knowing how to apply Esther's into different matchups?
Yeah, I actually think you don't have clearly good or bad matchups. that's the curse of flexibility. You're not committing to anything, and you're not insane in something like playing football or brawling. You're actually good in everything, but you need to recognize the situation and buff the right models to be a good footballer or to be a good footballer. And I think I have personally the biggest problems with teams that can threaten like 2 to 3 takeouts easily and can go for 1 to 2 goals as well. So like Masons, I guess, if you're playing football Masons with the I played Fraser in Scotland, and he was playing football Masons with Honor and Harmony, and the linked activation is so good because it can burst down a high priority target on my side as well. And if you can do so while being able to pressure the ball, that's a really big problem for me. But it's doable as well. You can win this for sure. But I think stuff like Hammer or Honor are pretty bad. I don't have too many issues with control because, yeah, we can play this for 90 minutes, I guess. We're standing in front of each other, shooting each other, and yeah, that's fine. It's not the most interesting game, but you can do it as well. But I guess this tempo-orientated skills are most problematic.
Yeah, I mean, that's the downside. I mean, we talk about flexibility. The downside of flexibility is that, you know, you can switch up, but you don't have that dedicated, I guess, game plan. This is why Shark Fish is so frustrating, right? Because they do one thing supremely well, and they either win or they lose. But the speed and, you know, the ability to recover from positioning mistakes means that, you know, they've got that game basically locked down. Whereas, you know, as a flexible team, you have to sit back and have to have a better read of the game, better understanding of the game in terms of fundamentals to be able to play, you know, to overcome, I guess, that inherent advantage that somebody like Shark has just purely based on their rule set.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But if you can make it to turn 3 without conceding 2 goals, I guess, you're actually in a really good spot. So it's going south for them pretty quickly if they are not able to score. And you have all the tools to deny them to score a second goal, I guess, because the first one is next to guaranteed.
Yes. It's nice being like up 4-0 from the outset of the game if you're receiving. Even if you're not, it's great. Just good times. Just Shark things. What a fuck boy.
But he needs it. He needs it, to be fair. If he's not 4-0 up, he's going to lose.
Very true. Yeah. Campbell's actually started up a Facebook page dedicated to Shark memes. We felt that the time had come. It gets a little erotic in parts, but we're trying to keep it classy.
Yeah, he is the puck boy though, so you know. Sometimes you just have to go there.
Yeah.
Now, Dave and I always talked about the fact that when you play against Shark, you've actually just got to be prepared to play 8-0 down or, like, you know, accept that he's on 8 and you need to control that one goal. Like you said, if you can hold off, you know, them scoring until turn 3, absolutely. But the reality is you've got to get used to the idea that they're just going to be pinging goals in, and how quickly and, you know, can you kill them off and counter score, or how quickly can you control the ball. Dictates whether that game is a win or a loss. It's very binary.
That's the problem I got with Fishermen, because it's actually they only ask questions in the game, and the opposing player has to answer them. So they're like having the initiative from the beginning of the game, and if they are going to lose it, they're going to lose the game as well, because they're missing the tools to outbrawl most of the teams, I guess, obviously a Shark Fisherman team. Corsair can do so. That's why he's so bonkers. But I think that's the reason why they are so frustrating to play against, at least for me, because I tend to play much slower teams and tend to play for a longer game most of the times, so if I'm not feeling like
drunk,
drunk or excited to do something. Normally what was it called? Controlled YOLO? Yeah, I like it. Controlled YOLO is a good thing.
Right. I'm not quite sure what it is, Tim, but you know, when you do, I'm happy to sit and watch.
You'll see.
Yes, I will. Yes, we will. Oh my God, it's going to get messy.
Yes.
And maybe an elevator involved.
Maybe I need a new liver after this, but yeah.
Yeah, just, I mean, you're in Poland, yeah. Right? Like, how hard are they to get over there? I mean, just pick one up off the street or something? I don't know. I've never been there. I'm just racially profiling a whole nation here. Go me. Thank Christ for editing. Yay.
Yeah, we can remove a lot of our conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. This will be a 5-minute podcast. It'll be fantastic.
Hello, bye. Okay.
Guten Abend.
Polish livers.
Jimmy, what is it with Germans and elevators, dude? Seriously? Because the amount of times I've seen, like, elevator action going on in conjunction with Guild Ball tournaments, what's going on there?
We love them, at least the guys from our gaming club. It's emotional thing or something like this. We feel safe in elevators. Yeah, it's our safe zone if we're hopeless and don't know what to do.
Okay.
It's a shelter.
It's taught at German schools, is it?
I'm sorry?
It's taught at German schools. You're in trouble. Find an elevator.
So I did some reading before you came on, Tim. I like to do research. It's my thing. And we actually tracked down a bit of information about your childhood. And we came to understand that as a child you lived in a 45-story apartment building, but that building had no elevator and you would have to take the stairs. So it kind of makes sense in a way. I mean, I think it's an amazing rags to riches story where, you know, you've come from, you know, this tower building with no elevator, to, I guess, find your true home. You never have to climb a stair again.
Are we building some kind of new legacy now or is it like another urban mist?
Well, yeah. I mean, you tell me, mate, it's your origin story. I was both touched and inspired.
But how do we get Dirty Mike in this whole setting as well? Because
well, didn't you grow up in the same building, you two? Isn't that why you're such great friends?
We were roommates. Yeah.
Yeah. No more stars.
I don't know.
No more stars.
I think the problem is that we're too fucked up to get in our hotel rooms, and that's actually why we were falling asleep multiple times in elevators,
right,
for some hours. But yeah, it might be the other story as well. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say, man. One sounds like the truth, the other one sounds like concocted bullshit. So, you know, I guess we'll let the listener decide. Nevertheless,
I'm still waiting for some kind of like Star Wars moment where Dirty Mike turned out to be Timmy's father. I don't know. Obviously, there was a missed opportunity there.
Ooh, that's the darkest timeline. this is good. This is good high level strategy talk.
Yeah, high level strategy.
Timmy's high level strategy is just take the elevator. It's easier.
And it worked.
Sure. that's good, man. That's good. So, maybe Vet Decimate. Like, wow, what a player. Thanks, Steamforged, for giving the world that. It's just what Brewers needed. How are you finding her play out? Like, is she filling a gap, plugging a hole? Other metaphors for insertion?
Yes.
She's obviously really good for them. Everything it needed was tech 6, reach, 4 influence. And everything else is like nice to have. But actually, with all the buffs going on in Brewers and shorter playbooks, it don't really matter what else is on her card, because she would have been actually good if you're deleting the old backside of her card. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't care. She would be still in a good place, I guess. That's actually, yeah, the biggest problem is to actually use all of your buffs in a single turn, because even if you're tooling someone up or giving him more speed or something like this, if you're missing the opportunity to get them where you need it, or the enemy is just counterattacking or unpredictable, moving away or something like this, you're losing lots of value. And she's not going to lose that value. She's fast, has reach, has different opportunities to get back into melee if the enemy is counterattacking her or something like this, or even just knocking them down. And she is going to get value from the buffs you lay on her. And on the other hand, she's good even without being buffed. And that's what Brewers were actually lagging, I guess, except for captain activations. But you need a certain kind of setup for everyone to have an acceptable amount of value from the player, because my heart is bleeding if I have to activate a spigot and only do tech 5 attacks against a single model without any other way to buff him. Yeah. Because I know it could have been so much better. And Veteran Decimate is straight up really good. Even if you activate her like first in the turn, she will be good.
And the faction kind of builds around the momentum you need to generate. She has the ability to kind of generate it without needing all the buffs and still get the same value. Yeah.
Or even if there's someone with, like, let's say 8 HP, that would have been a captain activation before to be sure to take him down.
Yeah, because absolutely. And now it's a fail,
and so. And she's just going in and kill it straight away without any doubt, because it's really likely she has an excellent offensive capability, I guess. And if you're enforcing this, she's fucking scary.
Yeah. How do you find her heroic? Do you like that duelist lunge? The idea that, you know, you can push and then follow up and push and then follow up. Really, I mean, I can see the utility of it, that sort of extra movement, assisting with a goal run, something like that, setting up a 6-point activation if there's something on the table. Do you use it much?
Actually, I think it's pretty cool, but it's an situational heroic, I guess, because everything I've heard before was like, and you can push a certain model like into Tepper's threat range or blah, 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 but you can just beat it like for huge amount of damage as well. Why should I push someone if I can actually kill him straight away? It might be cool in certain situations for goal runs or for hostaging like key targets to kill them in the next round or something like this, but I think it's more situational than general useful, I guess. It's like a super knockback.
I like that good phrase that you just used, Tim, hostaging. I've not heard it quite described like that, but it's a great concept. You know, pushing a model
away.
The
Hans Gruber in him.
Getting
definitely
him locked up. Yeah, is it Hans Gruber or is it Hannibal Lecter?
Both.
When you're hostaging Tim, do you insist that your opponent rub the lotion on their skin?
That's also situational.
Oh dear. Is hostaging like cottaging? Is it? Anyway, let's move on.
Quality, high level strategy.
Oh my god. You can't take yourself too seriously, can you? That's good. That's great. No, I mean she does seem really interesting. Like I the one thing I like about the Exiles that we've seen so far. I mean, not the one thing, but I love that they've clearly been designed to fill roles, you know, to plug gaps in factions. And she just looks like a phenomenal kind of utility piece. Like you say, Tim, just the ability to do so many different things depending on the board state. Yep. You know, that flexibility. I mean, I think the more you play Guild Ball, the more you realize that having a flexible roster is really key. Like every time I've played Butchers, I've just gone to myself, these guys are great. They're really good at what they do, but there's certain situations in which they really struggle. Like you're looking to read. Like Cam talks about playing farmers versus engineers. I don't know, Cam. Like you've made some interesting observations about how when you're playing Grange, you're like reaching for tools that you don't have because you're so used to playing engineers.
Absolutely, and maybe that's my play style, but engineers like are the toolbox, you know, or one of the toolbox kind of guilds. And I found just, you know, playing farmers or playing Grange in particular, I wasn't very good at that, the kill the ball and, you know, drag them in kind of scenario. I've been just looking for a striker that could, you know, guarantee me a goal or just had that little bit more. Bush was okay, but obviously, they're built, you know, not like that. But I really struggle with that. And I find, like David said, like there's a few teams that are like that. You can be put in a situation where you don't really have an out. And, you know, Shark Fisherman is also another one. Like if you can just kill the ball really badly for them, then they're really fucked. Like, you know, turn three comes around, they haven't scored a goal, and they've got no chance. Whereas the teams that, you know, probably require more thought are the ones that, naturally more drawn to, probably have a higher skill cap, but also, you know, can play across a broad array of situations. And, yeah, I think that's really important.
I think it's the price for going all in on a certain playstyle. You're fucked if you're not going to play this kind of game. So it's actually totally okay. That's the risk.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, as far as high-level strategy goes, I feel that's particularly insightful. Don't fuck yourself. Or do. Who am I to say? Maybe that's what you're into. It's not up to me. You do you.
Everyone should play the Guild Ball game he wants to play. At least he's not playing Fisherman.
Are you just trolling like one of your locals? Like, you know, is this like, you know, Sledging Martin or what's going on here?
That's...
We love Martin.
I take this additionally, but it's like more of a bonus for me. But I'm actually just disliking fishermen. And it's not a big surprise or secret.
Ugh. Corsair is fucking stupid, man. Like, I agree. Like he's an amazing captain because not only does he explosively score goals and set up his team to do so, he can just switch up and beat face and like close out a game that's 2-2 like really reliably. Like, it doesn't even have to think about it; just does it. Boom! You basically set up a game on your terms with that drag access to Osirin. Like I don't know on. After CanCon, like I played Corsair at CanCon, won CanCon, it was a good day. I felt bad, but, you know, I struggled through it. But what it made me realize was that, like, Corsair is basically super obulous. you know, because he plays a similar game style, but he has access to that goal scoring end of the game, and he can do it really, really quickly if the circumstances are right. Whereas Obi is really struggling. You know, he plays that kind of kill the ball, play cagey, get your kills, and then go and score. Or, you know, maybe you set up a casket kill and basically grind the game out with takeouts and a goal.
Have you seen any of my streams? You can go for full football as well. It's no problem at all. It's way more janky. And
oh yeah, I've seen your games, man. But... like, I watched your World Champs game.
Yeah, that might not be the best game to watch, because that was full like I went full ham going in, and it was pretty excited to do so, but wasn't the best decision at all. But you could do something similar, but in a safer way, and still be in a good spot with Obulus, I guess, because playing a 2-2 game with Obulus is an option as well, because you're playing a toolbox faction once again, or a toolbox captain. You can handle situations in so many different ways with him as well, and that's what he's or why he's so much fun, and the same reason why he's pretty hard to play at the moment, I guess, because you need to do more than just go forward beating people or go forward scoring goals. It's way more, situational jank stuff, or playing it really, really safely and only denying options. I like Obulus and Morticians. I didn't play them for a while, but I'm still enjoying playing against them and looking at their cards, remembering good old times where I used to be something, and they're pretty cool.
Timmy,
they're pretty cool.
What do you mean you used to be something, man? You're the fucking the gift that keeps on giving, dude. You're like the fully assembled Voltron, dude, and I don't mean vehicle Voltron. I mean Lion Voltron. You are Lion Voltron. Yeah, that's high praise. But do you see the whole thing with Corsair being like he's got that Obulus game style. He's got that access to it, but he's also got access to that Shark game style. I just, you know, that rule set that Corsair has, plus the supporting cast, mainly Osirin, but you know, access to really good strikers, just sets up this phenomenal team. Like, I you know, like you look at your tournament options and you go, okay, if I want to play a team that has very little downside and will forgive any mistakes that I make, and gives me access to, you know, all the win conditions that I could hope for, you know, 1-4, 2-2, 3-0, like he's a pretty good option.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think every time I look at the Fisherman players, I'm like totally shocked how good Siren, the original Siren, still is after being nerfed like several times, I guess. She's absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. She's such a good player.
Yeah.
She's actually so good that you don't see Veteran Siren. And Veteran Siren is pretty good as well. Remember being blind? That's pretty shitty. losing to tech in an aura without having to be hit from something.
Yeah. Timmy, I was there last week, mate, and it's fucking terrible. I'm telling you that right now. Being blind in that aura is the worst place to be.
Yeah, yeah. And she's actually pretty good. And she... Yeah. See play, because original Siren is even better.
Yeah.
They're so good.
It's all right, you're actually not going to catch it.
A little Siren is mini Obulus.
Yeah, that's fair. Fucking weird. She really is. I mean, she's got access to, like, probably the most... I mean, like, Puppet Master is great and is very flexible. But, you know, lure is fantastic. It's like, what, half a Puppet Master? You know, and it's that half of the Puppet Master that, that Corsair really wants because it sets up his game.
Yeah. I got seduced yesterday in a game from Original Siren. And she made my Midas hit my own Catalyst, which was like crowded from four fishermen or something like this, which led to a momentous double, a momentous push dodge and damage and a momentous dodge and pushed them apart to, that was a fucking mess. Seduce is terribly good. I fucking hate it.
Yeah. It's
actually Siren is the only player in Fisherman that really get my attention because she's super janky. She's so good. Yeah. And most of the Fisherman player don't even use her to the full potential because they're like situational seducing someone to kick a ball from time to time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, got mini Obulus over there. I would go for her every turn to max out her value because she's going to win this game. Siren is amazing.
I was just going to say, just take Hoist and just blow her up from range. It's so much fun. I take pleasure in doing that every fucking time.
Old Campbell fishing for fives, Dandy.
Well, Hoist doesn't suffer from fives with her, so...
Hoist is, man.
So you got a 75% chance for fucking hard rolling that. And if you're playing Pin Vice and you throw the deletion on, then deletion gives you a free bonus time. So you can, basically, you see if you hard roll the first one, the second one round, you just fucking bonus time it if you need to.
Oh, there's some high level strategy there.
Yeah, no, fuck her. Shoot her down. Yeah. I really don't like her.
Man, seduced off the playbook, though. That's where the money's at. You know, just send her around, like, boom, thank you very much. Yeah.
Well, it's the double momentum. It's the momentum, and then whatever you then get someone seduced to do momentously.
I actually had a situation where I played Fisherman because Dirty Mike forced me to do so, and I charged into with Original Siren, repping the playbook. He announced a counterattack. I got seduced on his smoke, which passed the ball to me, and I dodged away before his counterattack triggered. That was like, I was standing there like, how is this even possible? That's not fair.
That's awesome, though.
I got the goal with the last activation, got the initiative, and did the same thing again, because how do you kill the ball against her?
Yeah.
I got one strike on the one side, one on the other. If you're giving the ball to any one of your players, I'm going to use the ball back. And it was outrageous. She's insane.
Yeah. She's just like that level of utility is ridiculous. It's so good. And I think once you understand how she operates, not actually that hard to apply either. It's like, all right, get a crowd up, send her in, hit seduced off the book. If you want to hard roll it, go for it. It's still good.
I would actually like to see her get worse in a certain way. Like, I don't want to see her in melee. It should be something like her last resort or something like this. But right now, she's just going in, doing whatever she wants. And, that's pretty shitty.
Yeah, I think 2-inch melee is probably the kicker on the rest of the good stuff. But even like lengthen the playbook, because you just charge with her, right? You do the charge, you get the seduced off the playbook, you potentially can wrap to get something else going on, and then you've still got one left to shoot a goal or, you know, a whole bunch of other things you can do. They pass to you, like you said, you pass dodge, your threat extension's insane, and then you ping a fucking goal in. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, or simply sending her in with low tech and a really short playbook. Yeah, I mean, she has, like, 2 damage on 2 hits.
Yeah.
So she can actually break face as well.
I think
she might be a bit too good, but yeah, that might be only me because I'm looking at her and she's like, oh man, she has. If you would cut one of these rules on her card, like every rule on her card is so good. If you would cut one of these, it would still be good. Yeah, not as bonkers as she is, but she would still be good.
Yeah,
and that cannot be right. I don't know, but it's me and my hate on Fisherman, and especially on Siren, because I think she's one of the main problems. But yeah, it's my.
You might be biased.
My own
Tim.
Problem.
You might be biased.
I'm pretty biased. I'm pretty biased, but I think Siren. I would play Siren in any other guild as well.
Oh my god! Yeah.
No matter what. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't even matter, would it? Like, she's just one of those players that you pick up. And,
Likewise. I love it.
Don't get me started on Hag. Like, oh my god, so much utility. Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah. She's pretty good as well.
Good team.
You touched on the non-momentous damage that she's got, and I was just going to ask it, triggered a question that I had with the new game plan deck. Do you think, and this is something I've thought about, like where engineers have a lot of non-momentous decent damage, do you think that actually the game plan deck opens up people choosing those results a bit more because you can control the momentum game a bit more? Like if you've got a plus seven card, you only need to be in front by one momentum to kind of guarantee next turn. So then it enables the results that are non-momentous more?
Yeah. Might, I'm not sure. You get certain informations of how high the initiative value of your opponent's card is. You're obviously missing some information, but you're working with the information you got. Like if I got both seventh, he will not have one of the seven value any cards. So I can play around that. And if I knew that there's no opportunity for him to get initiative, I'm totally going for the straight best result I can get. If it's damage, it's damage. If these are pushes or character plays without momentum, I will totally go for it. It's just maximizing the value because momentum isn't a valuable resource anymore at this point where you already won everything you could with the momentum you already got. So I think it's like every single answer I gave you today is like, it depends.
It's your standard response. It's like your media training.
But it's hard to talk about something because Guild Ball is a really, really situational game because it's changing from activation to activation. And that's what people should acknowledge. You cannot have a real plan, I guess. You need to be flexible to play this game. Because it's re-evaluating your options from turn to turn, depending on the decisions your opponent did and how the dice turned out. And I think that's one of the most important skills in this game, to read the state of the game, I guess, and to know what's most important in this certain board situation. And it might be going for non-momentous damage, because you're not losing any value on taking other results. You would totally not go for momentous dodges without moving your own model if you can go for one damage, if you knew that you're most likely going to win the initiative. I would go for a single point of damage every fucking time, even if I could dodge or something like this. If it's not getting me in a better position, fuck it.
Yeah.
Then let's do three damage. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's where, you know, it opens up some of the guilds that have the damage just in non-momentous locations. And on, you know, well, engineers from my perspective have some pretty, you know, models with that two damage quite low that you can just whip it out if you need to.
Yep.
You know, even Ratchet's got two on the two, right? So that's not bad.
But Masons are another good example of that, where, you know, their higher damage results are at the end of the book and they're non-momentous.
Yeah.
you know, fear. Yeah, I don't know. I think the game plan cards are a really interesting addition, because what it means is if you're up on momentum, if you've won that race, you can start to opt for the cards that they're lower initiative value, but the influence value that they bring is relevant. You know, so there's ones that are like plus one initiative but plus one influence. I find them really great, particularly in teams that are good at generating momentum, because they help you roll that tempo game a little bit better. You know, you've just got a little bit more output, a little bit more juice in the tank. So knowing which ones to keep and which ones to throw away, depending on the game style, depending on the style of the game that the team that you're playing has, becomes an interesting metagame in itself.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think people are not giving enough credit to the card text as well, because there are some pretty good effects on the cards. And it's not only about the initiative value, because if you can get initiative with a lower value card to get the more valuable effect on the card as well, besides having initiative, you're in a really good spot, I guess, because you have like value. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. But you get the most out of it. And I think people are only looking on initiative value, and I think that might be a fault. It's depending on how you are going to play the game. If you're tempoing, like playing Fisherman, I guess higher any value cards are really interesting for you to not lose the momentum of the ball pressure, I guess. But on the other hand, if you're playing, let's say, Masons and can get the initiative with midfield general or something like this, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And it's hard to say which might be the best or worst cards, but I think overall the spread between the best and the worst card isn't really big, I guess.
They've done a good job there, definitely.
That game, that sort of game within a game, where you're going, what's the lowest initiative value I can get away with here, is a fun one. So that you can save your plus +7 for when you really need it. You know, if you have a bad turn, if shit goes wrong, having it up your sleeve can be invaluable.
Or even going for a high initiative value card with a double-sided effect, I guess, it's pretty cool from time to time. The one where you're doing the dodges, beginning with the player having the initiative. It's a pretty good card if you're losing initiative and still going for the good effect. I had this like in a game yesterday as well, where I could kill the ball actually with having this card, losing the initiative, because I could dodge away after my opponent had to dodge. And it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's even more situational stuff in a really situational game. So,
Yeah.
I really like the cards.
Actually, that dodge one, I can't remember the name of it, but the 4-inch dodge one, that sets up kind of cheeky goal runs out of nowhere. I've had that in a couple of games where, you know, you've got the player with the ball, they look like they're out of threat range, you drop that card, and suddenly it's all on. And that can be really interesting, catching your opponent out when they haven't seen it.
Yeah, or like I told you, making the opponent dodge first and then get the ball to the sidelines or something like this, not being in melee with the player that dodged before.
Yeah, that's really interesting. That's definitely high-level strategy. No, it is, though. It is, like, because your point about card text is a really good one. And that's like, okay, this is the effect that you have granted to you this turn. How are you going to use it? Like, how can you get creative with it?
Yeah, the problem is, I think that might be even the best part of the card, not the plus +7 on the initiative. I think if you can create situations where you're still losing, but can make a game-changing effect or game-changing play out of the card effect, I think you will not see more than this kind of value, because it even gave it just gave me another round of ball killing against fishermen. And yeah, it took me to turn 3 or 4 without losing the ball. And yeah, that was pretty good.
We're all playing checkers here, mate, and you're playing chess. What's going on? That's good. That's good. Yeah. You're a tricky man, Tim. People have been saying this for a while now.
Yeah. From time to time, I have clever ideas, but...
Yeah. No, it's cool, man. It's cool. We've all been, like, so hammered, you know, so drunk. We enter a fugue state and you have some kind of visitation, you know, get an epiphany. It's great. I'm glad to see it's working out for you. So what's next, Timmy? You're gonna smash out some brewers at WTC? You're gonna stay on this train for a little bit longer?
Maybe. For now, I'm looking forward to play Alchemists at the moment, because I recently painted the most of them, and I'm not sure what to play at WTC yet, because I'm much more like a filler in the team. I don't even know the team yet. That's the next problem. But I'm actually waiting for knowing who am I with in a team and what they are going to play, so I can choose the guild after this and train it. So it might be Brewers, it might be Ratcatchers, because I really like Ratcatchers at the moment. Or even engineers again are an option as well, because they are so well-rounded, and I could get like I could be the first drop for the team anytime, so the other guys could pick their matchups or something like this. I don't actually care, and that's why I'm not planning anything for WTC yet. But Brewers are in fact an option.
Would you say that not caring is both your greatest strength and your greatest weakness?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm just asking questions at this point. I don't know.
If I'm not enjoying it anymore, I wouldn't play it. So I don't care as long as. Both players as long as I have fun.
Well, here's another question, Tim. Some people have accused you of loving too much. How do you respond to that?
Loving too much?
Yeah. You feel the love more intensely than other humans. How do you respond to that?
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. Well, here's another question, Tim.
Okay.
How do you feel about all the jank coming out of Ratcatchers, given how much you love jank?
Amazing. I really like them. Like I told you before, I think it's totally Jamie's decision to make a team as janky as this, because he's fucking in love with jank like I am. It's the thing is, I'm totally okay if I'm losing a game, but did something that neither me nor my opponent expected. And that's super cool. It's like what the fuck actually happened right now? If I got one of these moments, I'm totally okay with losing. Fuck it. It's okay. Because I had fun. And yeah, winning is a nice side effect, I guess. But you can still play the game and have fun without doing so, I guess. And,
I completely agree. It's when you unlock something, you have that, you know, moment in the game, and you come up with some weird jank and, yeah, get it to happen. And that's so rewarding.
Yeah, it's absolutely rewarding. That's what the word I was looking for.
I knew that.
But cool.
High-level strategy and rewarding.
Campbell has also been accused of loving too much.
Mm.
It's a real problem. He's not allowed in certain places.
Yeah, what police profiles have you been writing?
you know very well what police profiles I've been reading, Campbell. You know very well.
This
There's
is the main issue
attached
I'm gonna have.
To your ankle bracelet.
But this is the issue with WTC, like Interpol. Like, I'm well and truly going to have to shave my beard and do a whole bunch of things, possibly get some kind of leg extension so I'm taller just to get through customs.
I've never been through an airport without you getting pulled aside and tested.
Oh,
every single time.
And having some form of penetration involved. I know.
What?
It's fun. Yeah.
I thought they were just swapping you for bombs.
I'm sorry?
No, you go.
No, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Just go ahead. I'm listening.
Luckily, I got a chemist at the other end to like give me all the decent stuff to make me feel better. So.
Well, that's another good point. Tim, are you setting up your pharmacy for WTC?
I got still the same stuff like I had the last time. It's working for me, so why should I change it?
Exactly. Will you be helping other people who may be a little under the weather to get rehydrated quickly at the WTC? Will you be setting up shop?
Yes, I did, I guess. And at SteamCon as well.
Yeah, this is what makes you a pillar of the community, Tim.
Sharing is caring.
That's a pretty good grab, actually. I might use that.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Have we exhausted conversation topics, you reckon?
Well, given that we started on brewers and now we're talking about like dealing above the counter drugs, yeah, possibly.
Yeah. I kind of feel that way as well. Yeah. Closing thoughts, Tim. Closing thoughts.
On which topic?
Whatever you like, mate. It's just closing thoughts. You whatever you want to say.
I like bananas.
Now that's a sound bite. Always the giver, Tim. You are always the giver, and we love that about you.
Yeah. Sometimes I give too much.
Fact.
I don't even know how I'm going to edit this episode. Like, honestly, there's parts where I'm just like, fuck, what do I do here? I don't even know. Just leave the whole thing in. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Well, it's been a pleasure, mate. We love having you back again just because we just want to chat to you over and over. Dave might even just go delete this episode so we can do it one more time.
That'd be good form, wouldn't it? Yeah, three times a charm.
Sorry, did it on purpose.
I did, yeah. I love editing, and the more I can edit, the better.
For hours and hours.
You don't even
know. He had a quiet moment, and unfortunately slipped and hit the keyboard, or something sprayed and hit the keyboard. I'm not sure.
No, you're right, Campbell. I jizzed on my computer. Fucked the whole thing up. I'm still cleaning it.
Several times.
Here's a tip, boys. Don't let it dry.
By the way, my girlfriend came in the room like exactly before you told us this beautiful story.
Hey, it's fate.
I was like, don't let it dry and have a nice evening.
And to you, Tim. As always, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my God. And welcome back. Thank you very much for that, listening to our high-level strategy. David, was it high enough? Was the strategy cohesive enough? And was it level? I don't know where I'm going with that.
I don't know either, but I feel like I learned something. I waxed on, I waxed off, I painted the fence. You know, I practice standing on poles by the seaside. My bike got trashed. That's cool. I got a sweet vintage yellow car. Yeah, I caught some flies with chopsticks. It was great.
Yeah, didn't we all, though? Didn't we all?
I mean, that's the thing with Timmy. You just spend time around him and you're going to learn something.
Absolutely. It's like taking a shotgun to the face. Like, some of the pellets are going to hit you in the brain, right?
And
you'll absorb those quality nuggets of information.
Indeed, indeed. I like to think of them as chicken nuggets.
Fair, fair. Is that just you're hungry at the moment, or?
No, I've had dinner, but, you know, nuggets are great.
So we've had a few. This was a bit of an episode. I think we alluded to it during the episode. We lost one in the ether, in the interwebs. It was a bit sad. So I had to re-record. Ended up between a couple of the Exile release dates for cards. But since then, we've had a little veteran minx come trundling along. David, did you want to just have a brief chat about that in the outro?
Two words, Campbell. Rock hard. So good.
Yeah.
I have struggled through the dark forests of Hunters, my friend. Like, back in Season 2.
It was about a year ago, wasn't it? Now you did 30 games straight up and got your teeth kicked in quite a few of those.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've done the hard yards.
Mainly by me, and I miss those days. But anyway.
Yeah, and fucking Jared McGraw. Like, he would whip me over and over again, and he got to a point where he was like, do I have to? And I felt bad for him, but, you know, we do these things not because they're easy, but because they're hard. Ich bin ein Berliner.
So from a high-level strategy point of view,
yeah,
we're talking vet minx. What do you like about her? Is she an auto-include? Tell me some pros and cons of her.
She's amazing, dude. Like, I think the gap that she fills in Hunters is really interesting. Like, she's this switch-up utility piece. So yep. If you need to extend a threat range, great, she's got that. If you want to get a bit of board control out through the traps, you know, get them around a model, she's got that, bit of incidental damage on the board. The thing that I like best about her, though, is the fact that she is a 7-9 model with a 2-inch melee and a 3-6 kick, and Hunters are a bit starved for decent kick stats, particularly with that kind of threat range. So just having that ability, and I think this applies to Hunters pretty generally, like, they've got a lot of options, they're kind of a toolkit faction, and she just adds another great multi-tool into the toolbox, and she plays for both captains equally. I mean, like, I think the real problem now with Hunters is, you know, how do you build your side?
Yeah, no, fair. I think from the outside, I mean, I've played a fair bit of Hunters as well, but not nearly as much as you. The outside, the things that catch my eye are the 2-inch melee on a, you know, good def kind of model, with the speed, the low tackle, I think, looks really good. Hunters traditionally struggle to get the ball. And then being able to basically throw Blessing of the Sunfather on a third model in the faction seems super good.
And let's not forget that that def increase she gets. She's being attacked by a damaged model. Like, 5-1 as a defensive stat is fucking insane. It is so good. So you've got another decent ball-holding model, whereas, you know, Zerola was maybe your other option. So she can maybe tank a few tackles, decent counter-attacks, so she can dodge out of engagement as well. So, you know, just, oh, man, every time I look at her, I'm like, yeah, this is great. Good work, Perkins.
No, I like it. And, look, to be honest, like, of the Exiles that we've seen released, they've all kind of hit that mark. It's like they've actually looked for what does this faction need or guild need, and they've kind of hit that. Because the tackles, the, you know, melee range, the speed, all those things, the higher kick stat or the, you know, extra dice in the kick stat is huge. Like, being able to bonus dodge to 4 dice instead of bonus timing up to 3 is massive. So, I love it. I love it from the outside. You know, definitely get her on the park when we get the model and start playing around with her. It would be bloody awesome, I reckon.
Now, people have been talking about, you know, like, set up a bunch of traps, get Chaska to shoot the model with the traps around them. You know, do 10 points of damage. Yeah, you could. Not the easiest thing to pull off always against a good player, but, yeah, just that crazy kind of option extension that she brings.
Yeah.
Suddenly, like, Hunters have got, like, another way to dictate board control, and it's not, like, that hard control. It's kind of, it's posing a bunch of questions across the board saying, all right, cool, if you go here, here's your consequence. So just, yeah, kind of really interesting piece. Reminds me of playing Legion in War Machine a bit. You know, you throw Scathers out on the table, you control the board space in that way. So, yeah, dig it.
Nice. Love it. So get some into you, up you, around you. Love it.
Just excellence, man. Just yeah. fucking smashing it.
So. No, they are kicking goals, absolutely. So we've got them on pre-order, don't we? Does our good mate Jesse Heiss from Free City Games, I believe he's got them on the site yet.
Jesse Heiss, you say? You mean Jesse the Sexual Tyrannosaurus? That's yes. Jesse Heiss.
Sex Rex, that's the one.
Sex Rex, yeah. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's got a bunch of shit. So freecitygames.com. He also is doing a deal for Double Dodge. Because he loves us, right? He's like, all right, cool. I'll give Double Dodge listeners 10% off. And he gave us a code. That code is, hold on, I'm just scrolling through my messages. Yep, here we go. Where are you? Double Dodge 10, one word. Double Dodge 10, 10 is 10. 10% off any orders if you use this code.
Oh, that's awesome.
And his online store. So what a boss, fucking legend. He's really helping the Australian community grow at the moment, now that Big Daz has died a Viking death.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that was a great Viking funeral. I love the way you shot that arrow, sailed off into the ocean.
Yeah. He sent me a text from Valhalla. Apparently, like, he's feasting, he's fighting, he's having a good time.
Oh, he'd love it there. He really would. Now, is Jesse also? I believe he just did a deal with Musil Minis, and he's got supplier status there. So a lot of the Musil Mini tokens are now available to him. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
Yeah, so jump on the store. I'm not sure if they're up there yet, but possibly by the time we get our shit together and get this podcast out, absolutely, they'll be on there. If not, message Jesse or ourselves, and we'll make sure that they're up there straight away. So, yeah, it's pretty handy. I've bought those basically straight from Muse before, and it's bloody expensive, the freight. So it's really awesome that he's actually now getting them in to kind of, you know, basically make them cheaper for the rest of us. So it's really good.
He's also got, like, He's taking pre-orders for Falcons as well. So if you're interested in Falconers and you are interested in alt sculpt Matagi, he's got them for you. So yeah, good man.
The problem with alt sculpt Matagi is they both look really good.
Well, it's
like, which one do you play? Which one do you put on the park?
I don't know, man. It's one of those things. You're gonna have to work it out. You're gonna have to work it out. It's a wealth of riches. Things.
Nice. He's a legend. Speaking of things or money or riches, or that was a really bad segue. Our Patreon, if you do want to support us, it's really helpful. We're actually using that money to support the WTC, the Australian side. Obviously, you know that we're involved, but it's to basically pay for bits and pieces there. If you go to patreon.com/doubledodge, you will find us. And it's, you know, different subscription levels, $1, $5, $10. But we did get a new subscriber, and his name is Jared Pilgrim. I'm just assuming it's a him, but Jared sounds like a very masculine name. So, Jared, you're a legend. You're wasting your money. But $10 a month, that is fucking sensational. So thank you very much. We'll be sending out your widget and stubby holder to you. And yeah, if anyone else can, by all means, don't feel like I have to go to 10 straight away, but please do. We put it back into the communities here. We've bought bits and pieces, you know, and we have price support and that for tournaments we run here. So it's not like we embezzle the cash and basically go spend it on cocaine and hookers. David liked to, but he's told me that, you know, he's done with that part of his life.
I don't know, man. My birthday's coming up.
I know. I can't wait.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I think that's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's it. I did promise our good mate, Haydos, that I'd make a shout-out to him and his lovely wife, Ella. They're awesome, massive supporters of ours, so shout-out to both of them, purely just because of their awesomeness.
Man, he's getting in the practice. I tell you what, he's on the WTC team as well.
Yeah.
Fuck me, man. He has been cranking out the games. And I have watched him level up. It's amazing. It's a beautiful thing.
No, I'm a big fan. Big fan of his. He towered me the other day. So that definitely puts him above zero on the skill level. So good job. I think on that note, do we just stick a fork in it and say it's done?
Yeah. I think we stick a shotgun in it and just say goodbye.
Fact. Wang. We'll be right back.
Fair. Yep.